Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features session audio from the EDUCAUSE 2013 annual meeting. You can find more audio and video by searching for EDUCAUSE on YouTube and iTunes.
Our presenters today are, of course, the winners of the Rising Star Awards, and that means that they are being recognized for great achievements in our field. Achieving things is one thing, of course, but they're also just really excellent people. So I know that they've already touched the lives of many of you in the room and online, and if there's anybody here whose lives they haven't touched, I have a couple of things that I have to tell you about them. The first one is that they are both wicked smart, okay? So Jennifer and Barron both have doctorates, and I want to read you the titles of one of each of their papers, and I will definitely need to look at the sheet while I do that. So Jennifer's doctorate is in education, and one of my favorite of her pubs was Constructing Technology-Based Constructivism, a New Approach to the Educational Computing Course, which she described her work as part of a complete redesign of a university teacher's education curriculum for teachers. And one of Jennifer's colleagues at Virginia Tech wrote that her work exists on the precarious edge of professionalism, vision, creativity, and innovation.
Wow.
Okay.
He also said that I pushed him over the cliff.
Hence the precarious edge. Good work. So Barron's academic background is in astrophysics, and one of his papers, my personal favorite of his papers, is titled Shock-Excited Maser Emission from Supernova Remnants. And I have no idea what that is, but it sounds like it should be made into an action movie with car chases and explosions, doesn't it? The second thing that you need to know about Jennifer and Barron is that they are both kind and humble people. They help everyone around them contribute their best, and they make their colleagues look good. A friend of Barron's wrote, "I like that he's brilliant and techie, but also a goof. I knew when I first met him that he was someone I wanted to hang out with." So here are two great people to hang out with. You know that you'll be welcomed when you're with them. You know that you'll have fun, and you know that your life will get better. So enjoy this session. Please join me in welcoming them.
Thank you very much, Ethan.
Wow.
Can we go home now?
Hopefully.
So welcome, everybody, and welcome to our audience online. We're thrilled to have you here. This has been a whirlwind, and certainly when Barron and I found out that we had been awarded this Rising Star Award, the first thing they said was, congratulations, and by the way, we need your session description in 24 hours. So we scrambled. We have not met each other before Tuesday face-to-face. So we scrambled to find an appropriate session that we thought would be beneficial to the folks here at EDUCAUSE. And we spent a lot of time reflecting on sort of what kinds of things could we share, what were our common knowledge spaces. I am not a rocket scientist, so I also did not understand the title of Barron's paper, so thank you very much for sharing. So we really sat down and thought about what were the shared experiences that we could talk to you all about and hopefully leave with something more than what we came with. And recurrently throughout our discussions, we talked about how our peers and the folks that we worked with, and particularly the folks that we had developed relationships with through EDUCAUSE and through our organizations, were truly the heart of all of the things that we were able to do. And in spite of the bright lights, I can see many of the faces out here that we're talking about in this presentation. And Barron came up with the great quote from Sir Isaac Newton, "On the shoulders of giants." And so you'll see that woven throughout our presentation today. But the first thing we wanted to do was say thank you. So after we got our title of our presentations together, they then said, please give us your acceptance speeches and thank everybody you need to thank, and you have 30 seconds. So we started at about 5 minutes and started paring down, and Norma Holland graciously said, well, you'll have time to thank those folks in your session. So thank you to everybody who came back. We tried to include a lot of the names and faces and the organizations that we belong to, but most certainly we want to thank EDUCAUSE. We want to thank the Awards Committee and Rand Technologies, obviously. But our institutions, I think Barron said it best, this award belongs to my institution, and I couldn't agree more. Without the support of our institutions and our colleagues and our leadership at our institutions, neither one of us would have been standing here. So thank you. So I did want to frame this a little bit. I don't think we could have come from two much more different organizations. So Barron is from McAllister College. If you haven't seen, it is a very beautiful campus. I have learned from exploring online. It has 2,000 staff or 2,000 students, about 200 faculty, and about 28 IT staff. So we said those numbers were approximate. It changes daily, right? I understand from Barron that this picture was taken in mid-July. So if you're not familiar with Minnesota weather, everybody is nice and bundled up. I'm teasing. So I did want to share a little bit more with you about Barron. So we decided we couldn't take ourselves too seriously in this, and you shouldn't either. So here's Barron's picture, 1993. I'm aging you. I can do that because I graduated from college the same year, so we're okay. Barron was sitting in the back of one of his astrophysics classes, and he decided that he had this immense calling to be a teacher, and he couldn't resist it. And even though people tried to talk him out of it, look, you could be a rocket scientist. How cool is that? He really felt that calling to become a teacher. So he went on to get his degree so that he could do teaching. And he was working on his doctoral work, his research, and he didn't have the computing power he needed to complete his work. So he went out there and built his own system, learned how to program in Linux, and here he is today. So.
And I'd like to introduce Jennifer and Virginia Tech. I don't think I could do as great a job as Ethan did, but I'll try. So as Jennifer mentioned, Virginia Tech is very different than where I come from. It's a public land grant university in Blacksburg, Virginia. About 31,000 students, 3,500 faculty, and 500 IT staff. So when Jennifer's dreams of becoming a clown and professional snowman builder fell through, she had to look for another career. And that doorway opened for her in 1996, Christmas of 1996, when her husband gave her a web TV. And I don't know how many of you remember that particular flash in the pan, but the web TV was a set-top box that allowed you to surf the internet from the comfort of your own couch. And that's pretty commonplace these days. But in 1996, that was cutting edge, I tell you what. So as she hooked that up and loaded the first web page, she was going on and on about how this would change education and change learning and bring resources aplenty to the students of the future. Her husband laughed, walked out, got a sandwich, a beverage, came back probably before that first web page loaded.
Perfect.
And he said, "Oh, this will be useful when we can watch movies and listen to music on it." And she laughed at that point, saying it'll never be that fast. Well, she might have been wrong with that little last part, but the internet really has opened up education and also networking in ways we would have never imagined just a few years ago.
Sure.
So this is the full quote that is referenced in our title from Isaac Newton. If I've seen further, it's only by standing on the shoulders of giants. So this is really to pay back the giants who have put us on their shoulders, and also to inspire other people to work with each other to turn that around, to pay it back. Today's earlier speech by Bill, he was talking about aliens, and now we're talking about giants. I feel like this is a fantasy convention, maybe not EDUCAUSE, but we'll keep it lively that way. So today what we're going to do a breakout. You're going to actually do networking in this session. We're going to talk a little bit about how to build a network and how to maintain a network, and then we'll do some planning for your network, and then we hope to have some real questions at the end. So keep on saving up what you're thinking about for question and answer time at the end.
Sure. I have one question. Did you intentionally grow your hair like Sir Isaac Newton in college?
Of course. Yeah.
Great. Okay. So we do want to help you start your network now, because one of the things that you'll see when Barron starts talking is that we've learned from our experiences here and leverage our time here at the conferences beyond just the sessions. Although we're glad you're here and listening attentively to what we're talking about, we do realize that much more important are the people that you meet here and those networks that you carry beyond this time here at the conference. So we're going to start now. We did say in the brochure that this was an interactive session. So if you didn't read, that's your own fault. You still have to talk to the people next to you. So what we would like to do for the folks here in the room is to introduce yourself to two new people. If you're from Anaheim, turn to the people next to you at your table. I see my Virginia Tech colleagues are sitting there. They could actually break out and talk to people at other tables as well. If you're online, we're asking you to private message the person below you. So if everybody private message the person below them except for the last person, you know, go to the top, you'll talk to two new people. What we'd like to do is spend a few minutes, share your name and contact information, and discuss one challenge that you're facing. Now, my CIO is here, and we're facing a challenge with sunsetting some services, so you have to come up with something else besides that one. Can't share the bad news of what we're working on. So one challenge that you're facing. For those of you in the room, you can tweet it out. For those online, you can tweet it out, hashtag Shoulders of Giants. We'll be following that up here. Or you can put it in the chat window. We've got someone monitoring here in the front row. So we expect lots of lively conversation. We'll give you 5 minutes. So we are getting some tweets, and I encourage you that are here in person, we could do this the analog way. You can step up to the microphone and exchange with us a shared challenge that you might have at your institution or that you discovered among the new folks that you've met. We did have something come in on Twitter. Jay Golis, are you here in the room, or are you online maybe?
I know, Joanne.
Okay. Challenge, the training of adjuncts in online education. I think that's an interesting challenge that lots of us are facing, right? We're leveraging more and more adjuncts. We have a different method for reaching out to our students, new technologies that continue to evolve. So excellent. Thank you.
Thanks, Joanne.
Ethan. Thanks, Ethan, here. So finding the next most interesting thing to do. So crowdsourcing what we should be doing. So leveraging your peer networks for that. Colleen, what do we have online?
Motivating faculty to engage in redesigning for active learning, applying the cool new tools in a meaningful and systematic way. We also have dealing with varied quality of data, trying to come up with valid analytical reports.
Great. Anybody in the room want to step up to the mic and share? Oh, excellent. Thank you.
Our table's theme is transition. Did I about get that right? That's just the one-word synopsis, but transition of leadership at our institutions. What else is there? A little rationalization going on. Budget issues.
Sure. Can I put you on the spot?
Sure.
Did you learn anything interesting that the folks at your table were doing differently than you're doing currently at your institution?
We didn't get a chance to talk for very long.
Not enough time. Huh?
Sorry.
No, that's okay. You can do that at the bar later.
Yep. Right on.
So that's a great idea. Anyone else have shared challenges that they want to share? No. Oh, good. Excellent. Thank you.
So I'm Laurie Diott from the University of Montana, and there were three in our group, Karen from Virginia Tech and Patrick from Illinois, and I don't remember the exact Illinois College, and secure access, providing access to our resources in a timely manner for non-university members and disabling that access.
Excellent.
When it's no longer needed.
Yeah, sure, right, security issues, absolutely. So Katie from Harvard said video solutions and managing research data securely. I think that's a huge issue for many of us. So the point I want to make, and Baron and I discussed this really, is we all face challenges. Many of the challenges we're facing, though, are similar, even if our institutions are very different. And by leveraging these peer networks, building and leveraging these peer networks, it truly becomes an opportunity for us not only to expand our own knowledge, but to be part of this give and take in the community. So I'm going to turn it over to Baron, and he'll talk about creating those networks from here.
So a lot of our presentation is some advice we would like to give to future rising stars, but I think it's something that's valuable for the entirety of your career. We all benefit from peer networks. I think we all work in education. We all value education. We all probably have a lot of education in our background. But probably, especially for me, little of that is direct training for what I do day to day. Almost all of that I've learned from all of you. So building this network is a tremendous and critical aspect of your professional development, and no more so true for anyone else than for me. When I left astrophysics and came over to work in technology at McAllister, I was the first instructional technologist there. McAllister didn't know really what that meant, and I sure didn't know what that meant, so I just reached out to people. I reached out to giants in my life like Andrea Nixon and Alex Worth Kashan and Carol Smith, people that had just ahead of me figured some of these things out, and I learned a ton from them. I looked to my other networks like MITSI, the predecessor to Knightley, CLAC, and other local groups to figure out and learn from others that were in similar situations. And I think wherever you're at, there are other people that are in similar situations, just like Jennifer said. But networks are things that you have to build for yourself. Even if it's an existing network, you have to build your connection to that network yourself. Kind of like the massive multiplayer thumb wrestling we did, you have to connect into that node yourself, and that's something that you have to actively do. And when we're talking about networking, we're not talking about networking for a new job. We're talking about networking to learn. It may unlock other possible advancement opportunities, but we're really talking about learning and doing your current job better. What I'd suggest to do is start very small. Start local, and then eventually think global. Start on your campus. Actually, start within your department. IT now has gotten so complicated and so specialized that we have a lot to learn, even from the person that's in the cube next to us. Not only do we have a lot to learn from them, we can't be successful without them. So as you're building out projects, you're going to need to have many other people with a lot of other responsibilities within your department. And unless you've built out that network, well, you can't bring them all to bear on the problems that you need to solve. From there, you can reach out across campus. Each unit around campus, although we sometimes call them silos, also have rich experiences that they can share with you. I started out by reaching out to my library. We work together to put together information fluency efforts to train our students, and there's no better way to network than to actually work together on those types of efforts, training our students on how to use information and the technology involved in accessing that. I'd encourage you to reach out to your facilities department. You're going to obviously need them to bring power to wherever you're installing technology, but beyond that, you're going to need their insight for new learning space design. Both of you will be pushed outside of your comfort zone in all the new teaching and learning methods that are coming forth today, and you should do that together. And if you understand each other's challenges and cultures, you'll be able to do that better. I'd also really like to encourage you to talk to your student services division. They are the first line of support for your students. There's a lot of ways that you can help them, from assistive technologies to support their programs and student organizations. But one thing that you get out of networking with them is you get to see how they do their work. And I can tell you, it's a lot different than we do our work in IT, but both of those are great ways to approach getting business done on a campus. So once you've established a good network within your college, you can start to reach out beyond the campus borders. I would suggest looking for other local and regional networks. There are probably some out there, and if there aren't any out there, you can make your own. It's something that I've done a lot of, and I don't know if Scott's here, but with Scott Krajewski at Augsburg College, he and I have worked together for a long time to create good networks within Minnesota. Minnesota has a great tradition of collaborating together, but we built a network for the instructional technologists at small liberal arts colleges, and that network has helped many new people join our field and work together and learn from each other. From the local, you can actually move up to things like EDUCAUSE. Now, EDUCAUSE is a big, huge, powerful organization, and all of these lights and stuff on us are a testament to that. But there are a lot of ways to just take a baby step into EDUCAUSE. I would suggest starting by joining the listservs, figuring out what conversations are going on and trying to join in on them. Then eventually go beyond lurking. Post to a listserv. Ask a question or answer a question. Go to the events and conferences. Those that are in the room are fortunate enough to do that. It's a great way to get away from your desk. It's really hard to network if you're head down looking at a screen. Get out of your comfort zone. Go to a conference. Devote the time to connecting. Volunteer within organizations like EDUCAUSE. One great way to start with that is reviewing proposals. Again, it's a simple way to volunteer. It's very meaningful. The program committee benefits greatly from it. But you start to see the conversations that are going on in areas that you're interested in and who's talking there. Then you'll know who to interact with. Another secret networking tip is to volunteer to convene a session. You really get to know people, and if you find somebody that's talking about something you want to learn about or somebody specifically that you want to meet, convene their session. You're going to have to meet them. It's a trick I've used quite a few times in my past. And then eventually, hopefully, you'll get to present. Presenting at a conference like this is wonderful because people will come up and want to network with you, and it's a great way to really have a nice influx of people into your network. But it's not just about the sessions. The sessions here, I think Diana said there are 355 sessions over these 4 days. They are wonderful. But the networking mostly happens, except for this session, we're making you do it in the session, most of the networking happens out there. So leverage that informal time. Leverage the coffee breaks. go into the halls for lunch, sit at a table with people you don't know, go to the vendor gatherings and meet people. That's what you're here for. That's why you're getting away from your desk. So take time outside of the sessions to do a lot of your networking. And I think the penultimate thing that EDUCAUSE offers for networking is its institutes. That's one of the most incredible ways to learn a bunch and have a huge infusion into your network. And Jennifer and I were both very fortunate to be in the Leading Change Institute. It was amazing. My Fry group from 2005 are a group that I rely on almost daily to do my job better, and we're continually learning from each other. But it's work. I'm not saying that networking is easy. It takes a lot of energy. Even if you're extroverted, it takes a lot of energy to reach out. And I want to make sure you understand that it's not something that you do in addition to your work. It's actually part of how you do your work. Because the better network you have, the more creativity you can have infusing, the more ideas, the more solutions you have at your fingertips. So think about this as a core part of how you do your work. And don't fear looking stupid. I have a short story I want to share. A couple years ago at EDUCAUSE, I just walked up to Phil Long. And Phil Long is a giant among us. And I just started talking to him. And halfway through that conversation, I realized I've never met Phil Long. And that was terrifying. But he was incredibly gracious about it. He was there to interact with people. I felt stupid momentarily, but he was very welcoming. And people want to do that. That's why they're here, to network up with other people and learn from each other. So don't fear looking stupid. Just throw yourself out there. As a physicist, I think about this as a potential energy problem. There's an activation energy above which, once you get above that, you can unlock a huge amount of energy and information for you, but you have to constantly put in that activation energy in order to unlock that extra. So it is work, but it's good work. And then the last thing I wanted to say was, networks are serendipitous. You might connect over one issue, you might connect at one event, and you never know where that's going to go. Don't overprogram it. Just add to your network. Keep the diversity. Keep trying to make connections, other nodes in your network, and you never know where they're going to pay back, and you don't need to worry about it. They will pay back. We're in a wonderful higher ed community, and EDUCAUSE is amazing at doing this. The resources that are all around us in this room and online are incredible, so take advantage of them.
So I thought, are you good? I thought this was our meta slide. This is Baron and I preparing for this without ever having met each other on Google Plus Hangouts here. So I thought you all would appreciate that, because we have expanded our network using this technology. I will tell you that we did about 4 takes of this before we were happy with the pictures at the bottom. We couldn't do it the day one of us was sick and home on the couch. You know, so this was several weeks worth of trying to get the right picture there. But what we wanted to talk about here is the care and feeding and the nurturing of those networks. Now that you've met these folks, how do you go beyond and continue to grow those networks? Because, as Baron mentioned, there's lots of opportunities to meet folks. It does take work to introduce yourself, particularly if you're an introvert, you know, sitting down at that table and talking to people that you've never met before. But I can assure you that the payback that you get from those will be multitudinous based on what you had before you knew those folks. So I do want to talk briefly about the give and take piece of this. Because when you think about the networks that you're building, you're getting a lot, but you also need to give a lot. So sometimes I feel like a peer network lurker. Cindy, I'm going to call you out here, because Cindy is a great organizer. So we have a group that we have worked with beyond a meeting that we were engaged in last summer. We meet monthly. We put it on our calendar, and I'll tell you a little bit about that in just a minute. But it's terrific to have someone who sort of shepherds the conversation, because we can talk over a listserv. We can make these ideas known that we're having these challenges or these successes, which is really terrific. But it's really about listening well and identifying those shared common challenges, and then receiving feedback from your colleagues when you present that challenge. But I think the most important thing is knowing when to offer up your expertise. So I can listen. I mean, I could not say a word in our conversations that we have once a month, because just listening to the folks, how they're addressing the issues on their campus, the challenges that they're facing. But it truly is about this two-way conversation. So don't be afraid to share your expertise, because even if you feel like you don't deserve a seat at this table, you've got knowledge that's not there already. The next thing is that care and feeding. And this is so, I appreciated what Baron said, because he said, you know, this is not in addition to your work. This is part of the work that you should be doing. Build it into your schedule. We have these conference calls scheduled once a month. We get on Google, we get on the phone. We have another group that we meet with that gets on Google Hangouts, so you've got that face-to-face connection as well. To me, it is about setting time in your calendar to do this, and don't cancel it. Do you know how tempting it is when, you know, you've got your critical needs are due and some fire has just blown up here and you feel like you need to go fight it? You can say, gosh, I can put this on the back burner. This can wait till next month. You will be able to share whatever that challenge currently is with those peer networks and be able to bring back the advice and expertise. And if nothing else, it gives you a chance in your day or your week to take a deep breath and reflect on that and get really good advice on what the next step should be. So just think about that and building it into where you need to be. One of the greatest things that have been a part of the things that we're doing in terms of the care and feeding is sharing the hurdles that we've encountered and also celebrating the successes. And I never realized how important this was, but, you know, sort of people make new steps in their careers. They're doing interesting projects. They're publishing papers in journals that we may or may not be reading. But it's really important to have those successes shared, because very often we are fighting fires and we are facing challenges. And so it's important to focus on those positive things as well. And folks appreciate that. You know, I mean, hey, great job. I saw you got that promotion, or I saw that paper was published. That was really excellent work. And for me, that really is the heart of continuing to keep your peer networks growing. One of the things that after I participated in the Learning Technologies Leadership Program, we wrote a note to ourselves, and it was mailed to us, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks later, and you could write whatever you wanted to your future self. But I put a little to-do list on there, and one of the things was to check in with my colleagues. So I had 4 or 5 folks that we had networked with afterwards at the bar. off of bit campus time, not business time. Just being able to put on your calendar a little reminder to say, hey, how are things going? What's this challenge? How's it progressing? I know you had that issue with a particular employee. How's that working out? You know, so checking in, because it not only it encourages you to have that conversation to see how that issue has progressed, but it lets the other person know that you're caring about what their issues are and listening and learning about how they solve that issue. And to me, thoughtfulness in the development of those peer networks as you grow them becomes a critical piece. You want to ensure that you have folks that have a difference of opinion than you. So it's very easy to have folks that, you know, agree with everything you say, but it's also very important to have folks that will be the naysayer in your group, because those are going to be the people that you have to sell your ideas to and you have to work with beyond in your organization. So it's very easy to say, Baron, we're going to sunset the service. And Baron says, great, that's awesome. Good for you. What I really need Baron to say is, you know, why are we going to do that? This isn't a good time for that. So getting those shared challenges, getting that diversity, expanding your networks, asking folks to join your network that haven't been a part of that before. I know one of the things that we look for is, you know, sort of who has a diversity of skills. So, you know, I'm academic technologies, but I certainly need to know more about project management. So we have a great expert in our group that does project management. So being able to ask those questions, where do we head to next? What's the next best step for this particular thing? So having a thoughtfulness in how you develop your networks, continuing to reach out and include folks that you wouldn't necessarily include, really becomes a terrific piece of this. It's also important in your diversity to have a wide range of levels. So we talked about both peer networks and the mentoring relationship. And so, you know, you might think that someone at the next level up or 2 levels up can't benefit from your knowledge. But my guess is there really are opportunities for that person to benefit from what you know, and for you to get a perspective that you wouldn't necessarily have had you not had a conversation with somebody that was a little bit higher or a little bit lower than you on the org chart. Finally, we're coming back to those shared challenges. And as you saw here, there were several shared challenges. I was following along on the Twitter feed while Baron was presenting. I was multitasking, I promise. I wasn't Facebooking this. But what's fascinating to me is that several folks mentioned, gosh, I have that particular challenge as well. And I have those same 3 challenges that were mentioned out loud here. Transition budgets. administration of those budgets, managing the library and IT. I think we all have those kinds of issues in our institutions. And whatever your role is, you can bring that perspective to the conversation, and I think that's the most valuable piece. Paying it back. And to me, this is one of the most valuable pieces that we can do. And Baron and I laughed about this. So, we certainly didn't say, gosh, we're rising stars. This is great to finally be recognized for this. I appreciate Ethan saying we're humble because we both said to each other, like, we feel a little bit like imposters. And what was interesting about this is the idea that you can transition from peer to mentor or mentor to peer or mentor to mentee in several different relationships. So it's really important to be aware of the point where you can give back to folks the things that you have gained from your peer networks. So that might mean starting a new peer network, including the newbie in the room in your peer networks, encouraging them to be a participant in a conversation that they wouldn't necessarily have been a participant in otherwise. One of the things that I wanted to share at this point was, how many of you read Steve DeFilippo's Twitter feed in the morning? Anybody? Right? The man must never sleep. So he is up from 4 to 6 a.m. reading all kinds of articles, and he tweets them out with a short description of what it is. So he saves me hours and hours of reading every day. And I feel a little guilty because I take and take. So the other day was the first day I actually retweeted one of his tweets. I'm like, yeah, this is a really good article. It would be helpful if you're looking at this challenge. So think about that, even with the social media pieces. How can we facilitate that give and take in these peer networks?
So Jennifer mentioned the exercise that she did. We wanted you all to have a chance to do this. This is where you can take a little bit of time to plan and be planful about your network. So here's some of the key takeaways that we think we talked about in this session. You might have your own, whatever resonated with you. But if you can pull out a device, whatever you've got, phone, computer, tablet, and go to futureme.org.
Or a piece of paper.
Or piece of paper would work too.
And pen.
I don't know that technology so well anymore. But futureme.org allows you to send yourself an email a month or more out in the future. So 30 days or more, when you get back to the office, you've already clawed back out of your inbox. Your mind is once again clear. Whatever fires came up while you were over here in Anaheim have been long since solved. This will pop into your inbox and say, hey, you should be thinking about this and this and ways to benefit and build your network. So we're going to give you a couple minutes, synthesize some of the things that you've been hearing, and really send yourself that note.
Maybe reach out to your newfound peers that we made you talk to at the beginning of the session.
Put in their contact info. That'll pop right in there, and then you can reach out to them in a month. So if you would, wrap that up and hit send or post. I forget what the button is on futureme.org.
Sure.
And then we'd like to open it up for about 10 minutes of questions, thoughts, additions, tips for others.
Mm. If you're at home in the studio audience, any tips that you all have, please feel free to type into the chat window or hashtag shoulders of giants. Yeah,
please
go ahead.
Please
come up to the mic so our at-home audience can hear.
So maybe just an answer from you folks, how you dealt with this. We all probably are busy putting out fires, and so it's hard to learn about the new technology behind fire hoses as you're putting out a fire in front of you. And I think a lot of us probably work in organizations that maybe don't encourage learning at the workplace or at the bar. And, you know, how do we go about doing those things and make it seem as though it's actually part of the putting out the fire,
sure,
part of your daily job?
Do you do a professional development plan annually?
Absolutely, and it includes presenting at conferences and this and that, but a lot of that still is not. I have some really good examples of times when we were doing amazing professional development for ourselves,
right,
but it was not seen by our superiors necessarily as work.
Sure.
Time. So
I write that in, and I guess my boss is here, so maybe I shouldn't share the secret, but I write that in as research and development. That's R&D time, and I think it's critical for that R&D to yield something back to the organization. So if that's a Twitter hashtag, if it means coming back and sharing that with faculty, To me, if you can meet the core mission of the institution, which is, in our case, teaching, research, and outreach, and I'm assuming if you're in higher ed that teaching and learning are somewhere in your core mission. I'm making that assumption. So can you share those pieces with faculty? Can you create a faculty learning community or an institutional learning community that wants to share those emerging technologies? That's some of the greatest learning that we do. We pull those folks together for a lunch and learn. Then it's kind of on your own time, but hopefully the yield from that will add some value to and share that. To have the elevator speech. Say, hey, did you know that this can do all kinds of new and interesting things when you're in the elevator?
That's a very thoughtful developmental way to do it. One other way that I approach that is before I go and grab the fire hose to put out that fire, I hit my network and ask about mm-hmm. how other people have attacked that fire, because maybe it's an oil fire and I'm just going to spray all that around and I'm doing the wrong thing. So just ingraining it in your practices to go to your network and ask for help first while you're fighting that fire, and you may get a better way to fight it.